We're starting a new series today, Journeys of Faith, and this has to do with the journeys of some of God's men of faith, some of the great characters, and the steps of faith that they take, faith-filled steps of great Bible characters, and you'll see where they live by faith, and they made their decisions based on faith in God. And believe me, it took a lot of faith for them in so many different ways. And so we'll be studying those for the next few weeks together. And we'll have the student passouts ready and maybe the visual on the screens by next week. Today we're going to look at the journey to Ararat. The journey to Ararat. Genesis 6, 1 through 9, and then we'll look at verse 22. So let's look at those verses together. Genesis chapter 6, I hope you do have your manual, your Bible. And the Bible says in verse 1, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. There, later we may be able to comment on these verses, but that's not the crux of our study today. Verse 5, And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Then in verse 8, But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's a pivotal verse. And then verse 9, These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. He was a man that walked with God, and he was a just man. The story is told, and you might remember when Hurricane Camille came through Mississippi in 1969. I remember the name of it and remember hearing some of the terrible things that took place. There was a group of people that were in the Riceloo Hotel apartments, and they were either ignorant or overconfident, but they said, we're going to ride this storm out. We're not worried about it. The chief of police came to them and told them they needed to leave, and they wouldn't do it. One guy came out on the second story on the balcony there with a drink in his hands and told him that it was his country, this is my land. If you want me off, you'll have to arrest me. Well, he didn't arrest them, but he took down the names of all of them in order for the contacting of their closest of kin, because he feared that they would perish, but they wouldn't listen to him. And so at 10:15, that storm hit 205 miles per hour. Now, that's a storm. And the raindrops were like bullets, and the Gulf Coast there crested between 22 and 28 feet high. Well, of course, this was an area where they had motels, gambling, go-go bars, all of that, and it was well known for that. The only person that survived those apartments somehow, some way, was a little 5-year-old boy. The rest of them died. They were very proud, obstinate. They didn't want to listen to what the chief told them. They didn't heed the warning that they got. Now, we see in our world today the very same kind of thing going on, don't we? We're trying to tell people how to be saved. We try to bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we tell them that His coming is near. It's a lot closer than it was. And what do? They don't want to hear it. They don't want you telling them about that. Oh, there may be an exception once in a while when somebody gets saved, but the vast majority of people in our world, in our culture today, do not want to hear that. And they're very much like the people in Noah's day. But God gave these people a way out. They didn't take it. God gave the people in Noah's day a way out, but they refused to believe the signs of what was going to happen. So let's look, first of all, at the reasons for the journey. The reasons for the journey. In chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, the Bible says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." I have an idea. He's seeing some of the very same thing today, don't you? "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." What he was observing, what he saw. Now, we go back to creation, and God made Adam and Eve in innocency. The devil, in the form of a serpent, deceived Eve. Eve took of the forbidden fruit. She talked her husband into doing it. Adam was responsible as the federal head, and he did it. And they rationalized and ate the fruit. And they died that day spiritually. They didn't die. The Lord said, "The day you eat that, you'll surely die." Well, they didn't die physically, but they died spiritually. They were okay until that point. After the fall, the earth rapidly multiplied, just like it's doing now. Every time you turn around, it's 7 billion, then 7.5 billion, and now we're right at 8 billion, if not at already hit 8 billion. And won't be long, we'll be hearing 9 billion on the face of the earth today. But there was great rapid multiplication in the numbers on the earth. Along with that was great sin. And sin was spreading all over the earth. And so Genesis 6:5, as we've read, says that every imagination of their hearts was only evil continually. I'm telling you, you look around and you think that's about what people are doing now. Every imagination of their heart is something that is corrupt. And so the psalmist said in Psalm 114:1, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good." We're all depraved. But then the culture takes over that way. Now, he said every imagination of their hearts, everything they thought of, every imagination of their heart was evil. The word imagination here is a word taken about forming pottery, forming, fashioning pottery. And what he is saying is that they were making evil and wickedness very fashionable, acceptable, in their culture. So 1,656 years, 10 generations, 10 different generations, all of humanity had become corrupt before God. All of them, all over the world. And God repented that he had made man. He purposed to destroy the world then with a flood. That's what was taking place. And that was the corrupt hearts that they had. That was the reason for the journey. And A in your outline was that they had corrupt hearts. And so this was something that they were going to face. I think Roman numeral 1, I'm not sure I gave that to you, the reasons for the journey. And yes, I gave that to you. But then in A, the corrupt hearts, that was part of it. And that's what he's saying in Genesis 6:5. The heart, when the heart is corrupt, what happens to the rest of you? You're corrupt. When the heart is corrupt, nothing good comes out of it, and there's no fellowship. And so that took care of the spiritual death, and then all of the imagination was that way. And so he purposed to destroy the world and then be corrupt lives. That's what comes out of corrupt hearts, is corrupt lives. The heart's not right, the life isn't going to be right. It produces corrupt lives. So sin was everywhere. And like in our culture today, sin was accepted. It was fashionable. The arrogance today of sinful people amazes me. They are proud of their sin. The homosexuals and the transgenders and the lesbians. And even now, churches are flying the rainbow flag out in front of their churches. Things like that are going on. And sin is, you just see it everywhere. Luke 17:26 says this way, "And as it was in the days of Noah," keep that in mind, "so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man." When Christ is coming again, in these days, just before that, it's going to be that way. Sin was fashionable then, but sin began to be tolerated. It began to be accepted, even though years before that it was repulsive. And so they were given to the flesh. They were given over to pleasures of the flesh and to their evil desires. Now, what kind of Noah, by the way, was obeying God? And they didn't like that. When his life was holy and dedicated to God and he was obedient, contrasted to their sin and folly, they didn't like what he was doing. Why? Because it was an indictment on their sin. When Christians live right and do right, and you're around unsaved people in the world, they don't like you. Because if you're doing what you ought to do for the Lord, and you're living for Jesus, just expect the fact that the majority of them are not going to like you. And accept it as part of it. And then we ask the question to ourselves, we should, what kind of lives are we living as far as trying to bring others under conviction? If we don't live holy lives, it's not going to impact them. He was living a holy life. It impacted them. They didn't like it. They resented it. And they didn't believe his message. And so we ask, are we bringing conviction by our lives? Do people look at you and feel under conviction about the way they're living, your relatives and other folks? We've got to strive to live a holy life in the midst of a very wicked, perverse culture, and God will bless it. So there would be the reasons for it. Number two, the readiness for the journey. The readiness for the journey. Noah's greatest decision was not just to start building the ark. His greatest decision was to have faith in God and to obey God. That was number one. If he hadn't had that decision in his heart, he wouldn't have started the other. And so he had, as the Bible says, a walk with God. In other words, he was prepared for the journey ahead of him. He was walking with God. Therefore, having the right kind of heart, walking with God, he had faith in what God was asking him to do and telling him to do. A, in your outline, he was ready to do it because of his walk. Back in Genesis 6, look at verses 8 and 9. "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God." He was a just man and perfect. In other words, he was living beyond any kind of thing that could be thrown at him to say that he wasn't a committed and dedicated godly man. And so Noah made that decision. He was prepared, ready because of his walk. And he was always walking with the Lord. His walk was consistent with God. He had a personal relationship with God. And I think we have to ask ourselves this question too. Are we walking daily close to God? Do we have a daily relationship with God, a meaningful relationship? John 15, verses 3 and 4 says this, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Then he said, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me." And I might say that Noah didn't just go to church on Sunday and just worship on Sunday. Noah lived a life daily for the glory of God. And I believe that's why God chose him. And that's why he knew what to do. And that's why he had faith. We need to prepare for God's using us through cultivating a walk with God. If we don't have a close walk with God, God's not going to use us. But if we do, God will use us. I say there's far too much casual Christianity today. Casual, take it or leave it. You remember the real cream ad, a little dab will do you? There's a lot of Christians that a little dab will do them. But we need to walk daily consistently before the Lord. And he was ready because of that. And then he was ready because of his will. Be in your outline. Ready because of his will. Verse 22 of chapter 6, the Bible says, "Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he." God commanded a lot of him, but he did it. He was ready because of his will. He wanted to do what God said to do. And so he honored God, and when you honor God, you obey him. And then God honored him for his obedience. And God said, "I'm going to let you build the ark. I'm going to let you preach to these people a long time, but I want you to do this." And there was no question that he would obey because he had that right in his heart. Obedience to God was not a decision that had to be made upon the different time or the different situation, because he had already made up his mind that he was going to live for God and do what God told him to do. We face a lot of temptations in our life. We ought to have our minds made up that when we come to that, we're not going to yield to it. We're not going to fall for it, because we're like Noah. Our minds are made up. We're not going to give in to bitterness and jealousy and anger and pride and immorality and all of those things. Our mind is made up. And so we just have to honor the Lord. He decided early in life to obey God. Roger Staubach, who was a Dallas Cowboy quarterback, and they had a world championship team in 1971. It's been a long time since they did that, repeated that kind of thing. But he didn't like Coach Landry because Coach Landry called all the plays. He would not let him call the plays. And so he kept fussing about it, and he didn't like it, and he said, "You know, I'm a quarterback. I ought to be able to call the plays." And he could only call the play in an emergency. But here's the thing. He learned to listen to him. And later, I quote him, he said, "I faced up to the issue of obedience. Once I learned to obey, there was harmony, fulfillment, and victory." That's why they had a world championship team in 1971. Now, if you and I want harmony, and we want fulfillment, if we want these things in our lives, then we're going to have to learn the same lesson. We're going to have to obey God no matter what, whether it seems rational or not. Psalm 119, 105, the psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." I'm sorry, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And so we have to go to the Word of God and listen to what God says. And His Word will illuminate how we walk, our steps. He tells us what to do. God's Word is always reliable. What does God say do? Then we ought to do what God says do. And so Noah suffered reproach for obeying God, but he just kept on obeying the Lord. So when we lose the fear of God in our life, And I'm not talking about thinking that he's mean and unfair, but the reverential awe, when we lose that in our lives, the decisions of life are threatened in our day-to-day walk. We need to walk in obedience, and when we do, we follow him, and the choice for these things that we face, these temptations, by and large, should already be made. And so Noah's bent was in obeying the Lord. And then thirdly, the results of the journey. The results of the journey. God is a holy God, right? And so being a holy God, God has to judge unholiness, demands judgment. But here's the good thing about God. He always gives a way of escape. He always gives grace for those who will take it. And if they want that way of escape, he'll give it to anybody who will take it. Noah preached to the other people. He said, a flood's coming. And they didn't even know what rain was, but they didn't believe the preacher. And he said, God's told me a flood's coming. You better prepare to get on the ark. And he pleaded for men to repent, but they would not repent. And the flood destroyed all human life that except those who were on the ark. Now, God didn't destroy human life forever. That was his mercy. That was grace. What if Noah had refused to obey God? What if he had not obeyed God? Thank God he was there, he was obedient, and God used him. So, because of that, we have the preservation of the people. The preservation of the people. Genesis 6 and verse 14. The Bible says, make thee an ark of gopher wood, room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. Make an ark. By the way, if you haven't been up to Kentucky to see the ark, you ought to go. It's fantastic. And it sure will give you some ideas of how that certainly could have been carried out. In Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, to the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. You've been obedient, and I want you to get in the ark. So God's grace gave a warning, and he gave an invitation, and yet they did not obey. But Noah and his family obeyed. And what happened to them? They were found ultimately safe in the ark. Safe in the ark. And we thank God that that's true. Now, when we trust God and obey, when we do what God tells us to do, then we have the privilege of being in his will. We have the privilege of being satisfied. We have the privilege of really resting in the Lord's safety. If you're not walking in God's will, you're nervous. I promise you, you're nervous. If you are walking in God's will, you just believe and have faith that everything is going to work out the way it should. But if it's otherwise, you won't have that peace. Noah was also secure in the ark, and he was shut in the ark. The Bible says in 7:16, and they went in, they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. That's security. The Lord shut him in the ark. He closed the door and sealed it. And so that speaks of security. The believer has security. And so in our world, there's a lot of insecurity right now, isn't it? What's going to happen to your 401k? What's going to happen to your savings? What's going to happen about the recession? Will we finally be in a depression? What's going to happen politically? What's going to happen in the world, one world movement? What's going to happen politically in this voting period coming up, in the midterms? What's going to happen to our culture? Are we going to lose our freedoms and all of those things? We have a lot of things that are things that could make us insecure. But here's what we've got to do, folks. We've got to trust in God. We just got to look to God. And remember why we're here. We're not here to save the world through politics. We're here to get people saved. And one soul saved is worth more value than all the political good we could do. So if you really want to do some good, win people to Christ and tell them about the Lord. And so we need to do that. And even though we live in a world of insecurity, trust God, follow Him, and He'll preserve us, and He'll keep us safe according to His will. And then B, the preservation of the faith. The preservation of the faith. Genesis 6 and verse 9. Genesis chapter 6. These are the generations, verse 9, of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah, what did he do? Noah walked with God. Noah walked with God. The word perfect there means he was upright. You can write that in the margin of your Bible. It wasn't that he was sinless, but he was totally upright before God. And so Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He said there's a coming judgment. And now we have in 2 Peter 2:5 saying this, and spared not the old world, God didn't, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness. He was saying, get saved. That's what he was saying. Judgment's coming, get saved. Bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. So God offered the journey of grace to the other people. He preached it, and yet the wicked would not follow through. Now, look at verse 2 and verse 5. Of chapter 6. Verse 2, he said that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Some believe that may have been demons, fallen angels. Some believe that may have been demons that control the human bodies of people. And there are a lot of things. There were those homosexuals outside of a house once, you remember. And they were demon-possessed men and all of that. We could talk about that a long time. But we do know this. We know that there was wickedness there because of that. There was all kinds of wickedness. Now look at verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. That follows up what he was saying in these verses. And that every imagination, thoughts of his heart, was only evil continually. That's where it came to. That's what had happened. And God said, I'm going to destroy a man off of the face of the earth. And yet he was going to give a way of escape. Ezekiel 14:14 says, though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. God's going to preserve those who walk in his way. In the faith, God preserve those with faith for the future generations. And then, see in your outline, preservation of the gospel. There's the preservation of the gospel. The story here, of course, is a picture of salvation. Noah preached faith in what God had told him, faith in the Word of God. That's what we preach. That's what our pastor preaches. That's what those preach who stand in this pulpit, Hebrews 11:7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of these things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. His faith made him an heir of righteousness, and it was all by faith. He didn't know. He didn't have it all figured out. There'd never been an ark or a big boat built. There'd never been any rain. It was only the moisture that came up from the dew of the earth and that type thing. So he had to have faith in order to follow through in doing that. But his faith made him an heir of righteousness. So the ark is a picture of our salvation. 1 Peter 3:20, which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. He's talking about that generation, those people, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water, that is, in the ark. So God loved those people, and God was long-suffering, and the ark was complete. But when the ark was completed, they had to make a choice. And that choice was stay out of the ark or get in the ark. and they had to believe the preacher or not believe the preacher. And they had to get saved or not get saved. And the same is to us. And so we have to see God's faithfulness. And by the way, God only had one door in the ark. Just one way to heaven. People give us a hard time for that. But I'm telling you, John 10:9 says, I am not one of the doors or a door, but I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. So God is faithful, and he keeps his promise to save us, and he kept his promise to him, and he's going to keep the promise to us. I'm saved. God's going to keep his promise. What is he promising us? He's promising us a home in heaven. We're going to go to heaven. We get to go to heaven. And we don't know when or what. We don't know, the rapture may take place soon. But if not, we know we're going to die someday. And I have faith in the finished work of Christ. And I know that I'm going to go to heaven. Just as surely as Noah and the ark landed on Ararat, God took care of the journey of faith. And that's where it wound up, on the top of Mount Ararat, because he was a man of faith. And I promise you, he'll bring us safely home. Now let's close out. Matthew 24:37-39. A warning to us today. But as the days of Noah were. You got it? As the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. The rapture of the church. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. That's exactly what's going to happen again. And it's a sad thing, but God has given us that opportunity. So we're facing similar times, and if we don't depend on God's grace and obey, then we're not going to have the supply that Noah had during that time. Listen, when God gives you an undertaking, by the way, whatever it may be, and God doesn't ask you to do things that he knows you're not capable of doing. But whenever God gives you an undertaking, he will supply the grace for you to do it. He'll supply the grace for you to do it. And we know that Noah realized he couldn't do it alone. In 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good work. There may be some things God hadn't equipped you to do, but whatever it is, if he asks you to do it, and you have that ability, and along with his grace to help you grow and to mature and to develop that ability, then you can depend on God. We need to quit giving God excuses for not serving him. 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And so if you want to see God's strength, admit you can't do it alone. And that's exactly what they did. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Noah obeyed completely. He went in the ark. He didn't refuse. He didn't ask for all the details. He followed God's instruction. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And we need to find grace in the eyes of the Lord. Follow Noah's example. He followed God. He obeyed God. He claimed what God had promised him. And if we'll do that, when we get to heaven, we'll do exactly what I think Noah did on Ararat. He gave praise to God. And when we get there, we know his grace will sustain us, and we'll give praise to God. Folks, God's with us, and we just need to walk with him and be like Noah, walk with God daily and trust God, believe God, walk upright, and then God will do a lot of things for us and through us to his honor and glory. But we have choices. We just need to make the right ones. Thank you, Lord, for your word, and challenge our hearts today to be like Noah in this faith journey that we have. In Jesus' name, amen.